You're about to listen to the words and teachings of Pastor Shola Oshimakide of the household of David. Be blessed.
All right. If we were not around last week, I'm going to say that, please get the message. If we were not around last week, get first. If you don't have money, get it for free. It's free. It's important. What we started talking about temptation last week. So, and then if when you can get, for those of you second service, get the message of first service, because I established one point then on dealing with temptation, that just be where you ought to be and don't leave your place of assignment. And I can't go over that again, but I spoke about that. That was the problem of David. When the kings were going to battle, he stayed back at home. You don't know how much evil you are capable of doing until you let down your guards. Everybody stands by grace. When you withdraw grace from your life, you will surprise yourself what you will do. And that was what I said for service. After David, who will not kill Saul, a man that surely deserved to die, he decided to forgive Saul the first time, the second. He didn't kill Saul. He didn't allow somebody to kill Saul. Finally, when Saul was killed and they brought the announcement to him, he killed the person that brought the announcement and tore his clothes. But he took a man, so organized for the man's killing, and he went to bring the woman to the... He never thought he could do that. I will look briefly at Saul also. When they were going to hand over to him as a king, he ran away. He did not want power. But when the power came, he was shocked at how he slew 85 priests in one day. And he became so power drunk that he was going to kill a man that he felt was a threat to him. Except you are guarded by the Spirit of God, you will surprise yourself what you will do. The Bible said the heart of a man is desperately wicked. And of course, not man, no man and woman. So, that is why nobody should walk outside the grace of God. And if you like judging people, what will happen is that one day the grace on which you sit will be removed. And you will see your own nakedness. So no matter what we hear about other people, we pray for them. If we can get to reach them and share the word of God with them, we do that. Anybody you don't have access to, you are not sent to correct. Are you with me? There is someone else around them who can correct them. Once you don't have access to a person, you don't have right to correct the person. Anyway, but that's not for today. So we said just about that first time, but I want to read something here, because I should have said this before, but I said I was led to say it that way for service. What is the origin of temptation? So we stop on this note for service. Anytime you are tempted, it means something great is coming. The temptation is to sabotage, to destroy ahead of time whatever great thing God is bringing to you. Once something great is about to show up in your life, a temptation will precede the thing. It's always like that. Once God is about to do something, there will be a temptation that will try to stop. And it looks like whatever blessing is coming, the temptation that will come before it will be in the same nature. For instance, if God is going to bless you mightily financially, the temptation will be in the area of wealth. If God is going to give you power, the temptation will be about pride. Something will happen that will tempt you to want to operate the way you ought not. If somebody is going to have the ability to help marriages, the temptation will come in the area of marriage. Something is going to happen to mess up the divine plan before the arrival of the plan. Here is the patience of saints. Hear me very well. This is very... So everything the devil tempted Jesus on, the three temptations, there were the things that Jesus was coming to get anyway, and he asked them now. He has all of us worshipping him all over the world. Satan said, if you bow to him, I'm going to give you the whole world. And he said that he made him to stand on the pinnacle of the temple. He said, jump down. He wanted just to do stunts. And Jesus said, no, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But after he died and resurrected, he ascended to heaven and everybody saw him going up. That was a bigger stunt. To jump down is small. To go up is more difficult. He said, command this stone to be bread. He caused the fig tree. He brought money from the mouth of a fish. He commanded things to happen later. But the devil wanted him to do it first. And he said, no. This is real. Hallelujah. When something is coming. So, now, James chapter 1 is where I want to start from right now, verse 12. I said I will start from that scripture. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Listen to me. Overcome any temptation coming. But we said that first time. Jesus said that watch and pray that you fall not into temptation. You will fall when you sleep. Because the Bible says, while men slept, the enemies came. The enemies are always coming when you sleep. When you sleep is when you let down your guards, when you get out of your routine and do what you ought not to. There are places you ought not to go to. Don't go there. There are people you ought not get, ought not to get close to. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to sleep will get people into trouble. Hallelujah. The Bible says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life. That is the result at the end. When he's tried and he doesn't fall, he's going to receive a crown of life. So there's a crown of life. With the Lord I promised to them that love him. When you have opportunity of cornering money that is not your money, it's because a bigger money is coming. Don't fall. Many years ago, in the military regime, Pastor Stenberger was a young lawyer then, who had the authorization of the Mr. President then to sign the kind of something for a block somewhere, and he was to collect 3% as a lawyer. That would mean several hundreds of millions of naira constantly every year. And he said no, and he walked away. They gave it, he mentioned the name of the lawyer they gave it, a popular Nigeria. They gave it to that one, and that one took it. But you see, right now, he has more than that. And of course, he's one of the people that has access to the current president now. I am telling you, when something, Satan will give you an offer, and saints of the Most High must know this. Oh, I feel sorry for a lot of guys. You, sex, there is no free sex. For every act, you are spoiling something, and you don't know. The same thing goes for every woman. There are plans laid ahead of you. The devil sees and he comes around, and then you mess it up. Some, not once, not twice, not three times. And it gets you there. God will always forgive you. But that is the smaller part of the deal. Even though you are forgiven, but you cannot walk in the realm you should walk in. A man who's married is devastated, cannot bring healing to any home in marriage. So it's not about God, for he will forgive you. But what you are meant to become. Men and brethren, when you see temptation run, it means there is something ahead. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you with me? So it happened to Joseph with Miss Potiphar. Mrs. Potiphar was just the woman of an elevated staff. As if the devil saw that the king himself will give Joseph his daughter to marry. The daughter of one of the chiefs of that. The devil saw it. But much more higher than Mrs. Potiphar. But Mrs. Potiphar showed up first. The best you would have given Joseph would be chief staff, chief slave. But then he went down for a while and then to the palace. I'm sure if many of you were Joseph, you were sent for the Potiphar after becoming the prime minister. Husband and wife. You see, you remember, woman, what you did. Kneel down there. But we can't find out to the Bible. Joseph didn't do that. Don't prove a point to anybody. God will prove all the points. We have nobody to prove. And I emphasize also that some of the temptations will come in the area of offense. When something great is about to happen in your life at times, somebody will do something. Never retaliate. Don't strike back. And don't destroy the person with your mouth. All these things will happen. They must happen. Before the crown will come, these things must come. So there is a crown. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. There is a crown. If you want to know, that's the Bible said that Jesus knew what was in man and he would not commit himself to any. I said something for service. The person that is the loudest voice in Nigeria that suddenly on Facebook now is attacking churches, don't give tithe. Is anybody giving tithe? Say, go. All this guy making these statements, many of you have seen him on Facebook. It will shock you that years back he was the MC in Experience. Who would have thought watching him on stage, bringing up Domwe, bringing up Donnie McCorky, that this guy would do this some years back? Inside this art, there is everything evil except God helps you. Are you following me? You see the hatred coming from him against churches. So imagine that some 5-6 years back, about 2 years, he was the MC of the largest worship art in the world. What about the one that made that law then? That after 20 years, pastor should go and sit down and everything. He was a pastor in a particular church before. Have you read this thing before? The Bible said that, and the Satan entered Judas. And he saw Jesus. Now, I'm not calling names. That's their own thing. I'm just saying that it's amazing that somebody can be on this side today and then on that side tomorrow. That's what I'm saying. But you saw what happened to Lucifer, to Judas. Jesus picked him the way he picked all the 12. And the next thing, this guy sold Jesus for money and came to give Jesus a peg. He said, anybody I kiss is the person. And see what, I'll just address him. He said, friend. Jesus still called Judas friend. Then Judas came to kiss him. He said, friend, you betray your master with kiss. And then, of course, he went to hang himself. One thing about the devil, he uses people for a while and he dumps them. But after using them, he will promote why when he's through with them, he will mess them up and destroy them. Then he goes look for somebody else. Because he's always going about like a running lion, seeking whom to devour. It is the reason why we don't pray that any bad thing should happen to somebody that opposes us. We keep praying for a change of mind. But if they refuse to change on their own, they set up themselves for the show. But such a prayer should never come from a Christian to pray against somebody. Because when the person falls down, the devil using it will come out and use someone else. It's just a soul lost to the devil. You understand? That's the way the devil works. So we don't pray. No matter what. No matter what anybody says about this or anybody, we must not start wishing them so bad so they can learn or start praying. No. We can say that, oh, what I say is not so. But pray that God will have mercy on them. Anyway, so James chapter 1, let's start from verse 12. So the Bible says, when you are tried, you receive a crown. Then verse 13 says that, don't say when you are tempted that it is God. And this is what I want to show this second service. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. Let no man say when he is tempted. This is, what I'm about to do now is very deep. But we are going to do a little part of it. Hopefully we get there next Sunday. You will have to check your soul. I want to show you how he said, how did the devil know? The moment David missed the time, kings were going to battle. He didn't go, he stayed back at home. Terrible mistake. Patterns and routines are created to keep your life in shape. Don't walk yourself into trouble. Hallelujah. The Bible says that's 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1, that in the days when kings were going to battle, that was fighting period. David sent Joab. The Bible was clear enough to say that it was kings going to battle. The kings were the ones going to battle. But David stayed back. He wasn't sick. He just stayed back. And he sent Joab. And then, listen to me, everybody. Every prayer meeting is important. Every service is important. Every morning devotion you do in your house is important. Going to office and coming back through the same route at times is important. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. It is difficult to catch a man who has a pattern. Daniel had one 3 times a day. When they signed the law, they went to check him. At the time, they expected him to be praying and they were not disappointed. But we'll get back to that another day. But I'm just saying that. No, I didn't say we should go. Just stay with James. Stay with James. Are you with me? Thank you. Just go back to it. Thank you. Amen. The Bible says, let no man say, I'm tempted of God. Say, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither God tests, but he doesn't tempt. God tests, but God does not tempt. Are you with me? Temptation is on the negative side. A test is like your lecturer is not being wicked by giving you tests. It's to show what you know. Actually, tests don't show lecturers what you know. Tests, the result of your test, they show you what you know. When they are teaching the class, everybody will feel you are understanding what they are saying. When they give you an exam and you score 60, you know that you know a little, not much. If you score 20, and if you score 0, in my primary school and secondary school, they will draw the here. They will put 0 and put here. I know that some of your teachers were that wicked also. They did that. They will put so that you will understand what... Amen. So, you know, everybody can be giving chorus answers in the class. What the definition? Everybody saying it together. 2 times 2, 4, 2. And you know that, and we'll miss it in between and we'll continue. How many of you did that in your primary school? Good morning, ma. We're happy to see you, ma. God bless you. And then they'll tell you to decide the table. 2 times 2, 4, 2. Usually we meet and then 2 times 4. All the rest will just be sound. 2 times 4. like that. Amen. I wanted my teacher to say, call someone and say, oh, yeah, recite the table. They have to do it. Amen. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Now, verse 14. This is where I'm going. Every man that is tempted. Everybody say, every man. What's the meaning of every? Everybody. Every man that is tempted. Every man is tempted. When he's drawn away of his own lust and is enticed. This message will lead me to tell you to everybody, you better know yourself very well, or better still, you better pray that God should reveal you to you. You can never be tempted with what you don't like. Everybody listening to me right now, you are wired up differently. among people who don't know God, among unbelievers who don't know God, chronic unbelievers who don't send God, there are some of them, they will never have extramarital affair. The weakness of their flesh is not sex, but don't play with them with money. Some people will work for you, they don't know God, they are not afraid of God though, but they won't touch a cupboard that does not belong to them. But anything is skirts. Even if a goat wears skirts. Anything, because money is not his weakness. Some people don't have a problem with these two things, but they are as arrogant as peacock. Have you met guys like that before? Pride is just the problem. To say sorry is like suicide. Even when they know they ought to say sorry. I've seen people, somebody resign just to say sorry to boss. He chose to resign. And for 2 years he was at home. And he told, imagine, I'm giving a scenario. Imagine, he told his friend that he knew that what he did wasn't good, but I wasn't going to say sorry to anybody. And he chose to go. Some people, they are like that. Proud to a fault. So, you need to know what is in you. And that can come by the revelation. I want to show you two examples quickly. How, the Bible says, how are the mighty falling? How does this happen? Why did the devil organize David to see an innocent woman taking a bath? So she was an innocent woman taking her bath. So, really, that is our conclusion. So, if you hear something else, I once listened to a message where the guy said that Bathsheba was not innocent, but for our church, Bathsheba was innocent. She used to have her bath around that time every day. So, it was not, it was Mr. David who was supposed to go to war, and he did not go. And then he climbed the top. You know, when you're on top, when you're elevated, truly you could see. It's possible to see. I know in those days, the truths were not. I don't believe she was having a bath outside. I think it must have been a kind of bedroom that had no roof. So because of David's palace up there, he saw. And at that time, the devil made his eyes to be sharp. If you don't see, Papa Iggy said something one day. When he was battling his faith and his head on hospital bed as a small boy, and the pastor came and told the parent that your son will die, started crying. He said, as he was about to mention that your son will die, they were talking outside. He didn't hear any other thing they said. He said, it's as if his ability to hear multiplied. Satan wanted him to hear that. I don't want anybody to make doctrine. I'm not able to make doctrine out of it, but I'm about to say something. If you have been near an accident before, something almost happening to you, you will realize that some things are not ordinary. I still came from Abeuta. I usually drive on the express many times, and I drive with top speed and all those things. And so, I've seen things. I understand that when something is about to happen, the brake will fail at the wrongest time. It's as if some factors will work together to make. My best example is I go and watch the film Final Destination 1, 2, 3, 4. If you can't see horror, don't watch the film movie. It's terrible. Because they will show how things will work together before a pin or something will choke somebody. A wire might melt in for a while. And then all those things. Sincerely speaking, factors work together to make things happen. Anyway. How did Satan set up David? If he went to the top of the roof 30 minutes later, if he was watching, this I talk about African magic negatively too, so I just like use African magic as an example anyway, because we're Africans, right? So, okay, if David was watching Premiership that day, or Champions League, or World Cup final, now Nigeria's qualified for World Cup. If Israel was playing World Cup that day, and let's say semi-final, and his spills, let's say normally plan to go to the top of the roof 7:30, if the match should spill into extra time, I know men are football, he might keep watching. Mrs. Potiphar would have Bathsheba would have finished her bath, she would have gone inside. If David went to the top of the roof 1 hour earlier, she wouldn't have been out till David would go back in. How come, how did Satan arrange I want to say, that's what I want to talk about. There is something inside every remote control that connects to the TV, infrared, whatever, that will make the TV. So a remote control for LG might not work with Panasonic. They have to be configured the same way. I want to show you how the enemy identifies a man. And when you identify some things in you, pray to God and use the word of God to kill it before that thing manifests and it does something. Let's use two examples today. Let's start with our, this was also of David. Let's start with our uncle. I want to give you an example. Give me 1 Samuel chapter 25. You know, everybody, people have believed that when they say, when I have to pray for people, when it has to do with deliverance, I get very careful. I don't want to go by doctor, deliverer, you know. But of course, we cast our spirit out of some people. But what is familiar spirit? This is not a class. Amen. There are many things we will still teach, but let's leave that. I'm just saying that sometimes Satan can be familiar with your activities, and many times with the weakness in the apostle's life. I said every temptation has to do with your assignment in the future or something like that. Now look at this one. Go to Laban's story, down somewhere where David met Laban. If you see the name Laban, just go down there. Any verse where Laban, amen. You know, Abigail was Laban's wife. Is that right? Okay, just go to, okay. Now, when David's young men came, they spoke to Laban according to the word, those words in the name of David and sins. Verse 10. And Laban answered, this guy is very funny. He said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? Nowadays, there are many servants that break away everyone from his master. He had the highest number of sheep in his region then. And they will bring them like herdsmen. They will bring them to the forest to come and feed. And David had 600 men who were expert in fighting. They could have acted like terrorists, but they were able to take care of the sheep. And so they learned that it was a common experience to be sharing sheep. So they heard that he was sharing. And David just sent his men that go and greet him very well and tell him that, we are the guys in the wilderness who keep watching over your guys. We watch over them. We do this. We have never forcibly taken anything from them. Can you just send our guys something? And Laban laughed and said, I'm sorry. Did you say David or what? Who is that? He said, oh, girl, nowadays, all kinds of servants, if they break off from their master. And this man came back to tell David what Laban said. David said, he said, me and my servant are broke. He just said, everybody, prepare. And they gathered their sword. But thank God, when they came to beg the man for meat and he sent them away, one servant was listening. And he ran to Madame. He said, Madame, he said, so people came to beg Oga for meat now. Oga sent them away roughly. He spoke to them roughly. He said, these guys, there are 600 of them. They are expert in fighting war. Truly, they were nice to us in the field and they never took anything away from us. He said, Madam, danger is looming. If they take this answer back to that man, that's how I must have been a Nigerian. He was already packing his load. We are not there. So the woman said, wow. I know what she did. She packed food, packed those animals, got all her servants, and rode donkey to go and meet David. And truly, as she was coming, David and his men were already coming. David swore. He said, that's how they swear. They said, may God do so and more so to me. If I live in neighbor's house, a man, one that pisseth against the wall, that's a man. That means I will not leave a single man alive in the next 6 hours. And they were coming. And Abigail, I'm just saying so because we don't have time to read. And Abigail met David on the way. And she came down from the horse and she knelt down. I said, my husband is a foolish man. And she was right. He said, sir, he's a fool. You ask for meat. This is more than what you ask for. Don't look at him. Just look at me. She came down from the horse. She was rich. David was just like a refugee moving from one place to another then. And she knelt down. I want to say to every woman, it's a blessing as a woman when you know how to structure every word that comes from your mouth with respect. Many times, when something is about to happen to family, lady, they see it first. But how you communicate can mess up the whole thing. The way God has designed women, you will always be more sensitive than your husband. Listen to me. Even if your husband is the greatest prophet or not, as far as your family is concerned, what you see, cannot see. That's why God has positioned this. A woman that cannot pray can still see at times some things her husband cannot see. It is the grace and the gift that God has given every woman. But if you don't know how to channel it rightly, you will get the man to start thinking. This is very important. At times, a guy is getting close to a lady, you know that there is something dangerous about that relationship. You can pass a message across that can mess up what you are trying to say completely. And then you now look like a jealous man, even though you are trying to help the guy. Learn to put your words. Your no is still no, but you can say it in with respect and honor. Neither is it right for a man to talk. A man should not talk down any woman. It is totally wrong for a man to shout, raise your voice, and try to just make a woman to keep quiet and everything. But I'm just saying that from the scripture anyway. So she came down. David said, He said, "You have melted my heart." He said, "God, don't save you." He said, "I already said I will wipe up your entire family." He said, "Guys, collect the gift from her." And she left. But you know, what bothers me is that 3 weeks after that, her husband died. And David thanked God because they would have been guilty. God was already planning to kill Nabal. He slept and he didn't wake up again. He died. But what bothers him, immediately he died, David sent guys to the house again. Now, this time, and not for meat. The next thing we saw, Abigail was David's wife. She left. David must have been such a fine boy with that level of oratory power that the girl left palace to come and join a refugee. And she was moving from forest to forest with him. You know, some guys can do that. It is charisma. It's powerful. That a girl will say no to a guy that has jets and come to you. Who don't get Okada? But you see, there is a way you appear and you hold her hand and you look straight into her eyes and tell me, "Look into my eyes, what do you see?" And you know, you give her all those words. By the time those lyrics enter, she says that, you know what? Tito will respond with another poem. "Oh, my darling, you might not have jets. You might not have Range Rover Sport. But you have the words of life. So you are belong forever." You know? Are you with me? So the lady followed. Can you imagine? She left her house. She left all the servants at home. True. And she came to marry David. And she was following him from now. Brother David, let's talk to our uncle. How come a woman you wanted to kill some days ago, the old family, her husband and the family, now she's in your house? The enemy had seen that David, there was something about David and women. Remember when he was old? They said he was old. How they knew he was truly old? The servants must have observed him also. They said, David is saying he's old. Somebody said, "Is he really old? You know, let's test." They got a virgin, a beautiful lady, to be sitting in the lap and be massaging him. And for a month, David had no sex with her. They said, he's old. So that was when they all accepted. That, you mean this fine girl sits on him? Bible said that the lady was nursing him. That's the meaning. She was actually massaging him. And David had no intercourse with her. Everybody concluded that, Baba Tidagbalo, this man is old. This man is old. From the story of Abigail, and the last example of Abigail, we close this, I'll give Moses very in a while. The enemy must have seen that this guy has weakness for women. But grace covered it by his daily routine, being where he ought to be. The day he missed his step, and he stepped aside from where he ought to be, the plan was already waiting for him. He saw the lady and he couldn't resist, and that was it. And he didn't stop there, ordered for the execution of her husband and brought her to the house. When the prophet brought words back to David, then he realized that, I made a mistake. What about Moses? So save time, I will only quote. Have you read in Exodus chapter 3 when he went out? He was a young boy.
He just found out that he was not an Egyptian, even though he was living in the palace. He saw two Israelites, two of them, they were fighting. And the Bible says, look this way, and when he saw nobody coming, he killed one. Even the guy that was being, he saw an Egyptian, beaten an Israeli, sorry. Even the Egyptian, the Israeli that was being oppressed by the Egyptian, did not ask David, Moses to kill the man. But he killed the man. The devil had seen that this guy has problem with anger. And the power of God came upon him, but that weakness, this is what I want to tell the church, first of all. The anointing of God and the gifts and the callings of God, they don't remove the weakness of a man. It is to examine yourself and pray that you can pray out weakness. The anointing and the gift, they don't. So a pastor can heal 1 million people in the morning and still do something else in the evening. There are many pastors, after 7 days fasting, dry fasting, they still beat their wife. If you are given to anger and you are proud, the gift of the Spirit or the prayers of God in your life will not remove those things. Moses will strike the rod. At his voice, boys were coming on people. It was a, but that weakness never left. You will see the another display of it. I think it's in Exodus 32. When they were worshipping the golden calf, he didn't know that the familiar spirit, they were following and watching his. And it's like a time bomb that the enemy puts at times and wait for the right time. Sometimes he allows men to get to their topmost level in life. And then the bomb explodes and then they come down. We've read about preachers that when they became a national name, that was when somebody showed up in their character that brought them down again. I want to read. Give me first Exodus 32. There is a verse there. You know, it was on the mountain when they were worshipping the golden calf. When he came down, he saw what they were doing. See what Moses did. He broke the calf into pieces. He turned the powder. He poured the powder in water and forced the people to drink it. What kind of attitude was that? And God was watching. Do you have that verse? Go down, 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 where he came down from the mountain. The Bible says, as soon as he came near, he saw people dancing. Look at what the Bible says. And Moses' anger waxed hot. The thing just came upon him. And he cast a table of stone in his hand and break them. What he went to collect on the mountain. That was the first thing he did. The Ten Commandments, written with God's finger on two stones. He just saw the people worshipping idol. Something just wrote him. He just took the stone, boss, broke it, and went near. He took the golden calf. Read on. Let's go on. He took the calf which they had made and burnt it in fire and ground it to powder and he spread it upon water. What an look at anger in a man. And made the children of Israel to drink it. Oga Moses. He said, burn the calf. So they made it to melt and turn it to powder and he carried the powder with his own hand, spread it over water and he was putting their hair. Drink, drink. This is what you want to worship. And there was like, this guy's problem with anger. And he did not know the time that one cost him. He was called to take them to the promised land, the greatest assignment of his life. Then God said, the first time, hit the rock. And he did the second time, God said, speak to the rock. Give me that. Where is that? Numbers what? We will close with that. Where is Numbers? Where was told to the rock? Is that my... I can locate if I... Let me check. I know it's in Numbers. Okay. Start from the... Okay. He said, take your rod, you Aaron and your brother. Look at what the Lord told him. What is this? Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. It shall... And it will give forth water. Clear instruction. But you start before the rock, speak to the rock. But look at what made him to do otherwise. Next verse. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Go on. And Moses gathered the congregation together before the rock and he said unto them, hear ye rebels. Somebody's getting angry. You understand? God, he was praying before and God said that, okay, they're asking for water. Actually, they had provoked him. They were talking of stoning him. So he went to God and what do I do? These people are talking. God said, okay, go and speak to the rock. I'll bring water from the rock. But God saw Moses was full of anger as he was coming down. God had told him what to do, but he was still angry. So he called them together. He looked at the rock, he looked at them. He said, rebels. He said, now here, all of you, idiots. He said, must we fetch water out of the rock for you? Verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand with the rod and smoked the rod 2 times. The same way he destroyed that golden calf. He just said, you rebel, see what you have caused? Boast. And God said, this guy might consume all of them in the wilderness. The interesting thing is that there was a time God was angry and he wanted to destroy everybody. This same Moses interceded for them. Because at that time, he was not angry. He begged God until God accepted. God said, no, let me destroy them. I will make you a great leader. I said, Lord, he was a great leader. I just showed you the same thing in David. Who would have thought that the man that did not kill Saul, who deserved to die, will kill a woman's husband to collect the woman? How do you just support the two? Who would have thought that somebody would do that? The same Moses that knelt down was begging God, that God, don't get angry with them. He didn't know when he smote and he was this angry. And God said that because of what you have done, you are not entering that promised land. The whole idea of today's message, men and brethren, is that do you know you have a weakness and do you know what it is? As we fellowship with God on a daily basis, it seeks to refine us, to transform us by looking into His Word to kill these things. Some of the people who go to church who have gone into politics and who share Ghana must go with the rest, like the rest of them. Some of them didn't know they would be doing that on getting in. Many of you have noticed very well Nigeria now. Is there any administration that you have not complained about? Others will even join. See people, they will fall opportunity, abuse the incumbent. When they come in, they do worse. And you've seen that in Nigeria repeatedly. Some of them, when we're doing campaign that we fight corruption, we do this, they were serious about it truly. But you see, when power comes, something that is in you hidden will come out. You might not know all along that these things are there. If you have noticed that there is a problem within, it is time to turn to God to pray and ask for help. He's always available to help. He can uproot anything that has taken root in us. Anything. He can. Where I went to yesterday, it still happened. We have prayed for people before that the tendency to be gay or lesbian has been rising in them. But they cry for help on time and they were helped. And some of them are married now. We still pray for some. Some of them are married now. Married and doing well now. But see, that thing, that seed started growing there, but they cry for help on time. That I don't know, I gravitate towards men. We pray for people before. There's just something about taking what does not belong to them. And I'm telling, how do you explain somebody that is on first class? He said he can't even say it to people. And he's still stealing. If it's to read and pass, he will read and dust everything. But there's something that gravitates. We pray for a guy yesterday, he's old, just always wanted to have sex. And he will have a dream. He will see himself having sex in the dream. And he will step out. He will find a girl. And they will never say no to him. That's a demonic gift. An endowment of the devil. If you feel you are somehow weak towards women, you see our 40 years marriage and all these things, it's time to pray. Many times we are not always sincere in the prayers of God. When we openly and we sincerely pray, He will help, because He doesn't condemn anybody. He wants to help. Many times we come to church, we hide. Only few churches are practicing real church. In a real church, everybody's naked. In the sense that everybody's open. And nobody feels bad about it. It's not that you stand for church and tell everybody, no. That means you are part of a group where there is total accountability and complete openness. That even if you tell the group that you say, I just beheaded 14 people yesterday, nobody will feel, But everybody gets into prayer. And you are sure that whatever you tell them, even when you fight them, when there's a disagreement, they don't say what you have told them. That is true friendship. I know many of you have found such friends. No matter what you say, even when you fight, they don't talk about it. They stand on what you are fighting on. Oh, you borrow money, you do not return. That's the anger. And no matter level it escalates, so they don't talk about some other things you mentioned. A church is supposed to be a place where we pray. See, when you open up your heart to a right person and you are praying, half of the problem is gone. But a lot of people don't want to because you are not sure what people will make out of it. That's why you should have a shepherd that you trust, HOD that you trust, cell leader that you trust, that you can talk to and you can pray together. Many people who have fallen to deep shit, they could have been helped by people. But this thing, it doesn't develop overnight. It takes time. Look at Moses. It was after about 40 years. You will know this thing is there. How many people are listening to me here or by radio? You gravitate. Anything opposite say, causes you to have an erection and all those. You know that these things are there. It is the boy. You try to cover it. Hallelujah. I've seen situations where a guy met a lady. Sincerely, he loved her. But is that the past? And when she came to visit him and he was almost forcing her to have sex. And when she left, he broke down. That was the person he really wanted to marry. He got born here, but those things were saying, and the lady said, I cannot, and I don't blame you. I came to her and you were almost trying to rape me. It's over. This relationship is over. And it ended. For years, he didn't want to get married. He knew that he missed the right person for him. He knew he missed the lady. And he didn't really want to. This thing had been a weakness in him. And I'm sure they could have helped him. We cannot be far from real things going on in the church. That's why be in a place where you trust the leadership, but you have to open up your heart. If you need help, that is what family is all about. When a child is threatened outside, you should be able to go home and tell the parents that, hey, and when you enter the gate of your house, there should be confidence. If you're a parent and your son comes home and is still afraid at home, there is a problem with that family. When there is a problem outside and they get home, they should be fine. Say, I'm going home. I want to see my mom. It's not that when they get home. When I was in school, if people were like that, their mom could pray everyone down. And when there was a problem in the school, they would carry their bag and go home. Say, let me go and see my mom. And they would come back to school full of confidence and joy. Say, what happened? I just spoke with my mom. She took me to the kitchen and prayed. She rebooked that thing out of me. Hallelujah. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Are you following me? This is important. A lady was still telling me, I heard the story. Then somebody told me something similar. This one, it was the father on the day of the wedding. As she was dressing, she was about part. The father just said, the father didn't dress up. He was at the sitting room watching TV. So African fathers are wonderful. She wore a gown and everything. The father said, come here, where are you going to? He said, have you made up? I said, oh, daddy, but we've done this. We're not sure you were there. Now you chose the date. And today, I'm wondering why you're not. The father said, no. I was going to ask you one more time. He said, look, you are my daughter and I love you. If you think there's something wrong with this guy, today is your wedding. Tell me. I will drive to their house. I will accept the blame. And tell them that the wedding will not hold. He said, I understand that some daughters are going for wedding, but you are crying. They say, I don't know whether you are like that. I don't come to your room. If you are not happy, tell me now. I have bought, he said they are cooking outside. I don't care. I will cancel everything. You are my daughter. Your joy is the most important thing to me. I said, daddy, I'm fine. This fine. Then the father now went to dress. So that's a father. Not about Ashwebi. Somebody has told me. See, this is somebody that if I mention her, somebody, she told me. She doesn't come here. She's a big personality. One day she just was passing around BT. She packed a candle. She was talking to me. After she did her master's and everything abroad, she came back to Nigeria to marry. She was working there. Now she can't work in any financial institution again because of the guy. The guy used her to borrow beyond limits and almost got her to commit fraud. When they fired her in the bank, what they wrote, they said no financial institution should take her again. And she said, the man she met, the guy was just collecting money from her. She told me that she bought a brand new car, tear rubber. Guy messed, and she told the mom. The day she told the mom said that, but wedding is in 2 months. I've given IVs to my friends. The lady that told me, I've said that, so she was the one that told me that on the day of her wedding, she cried so much that the best lady said that, sorry, should we just tell the driver to carry us away? Say, let's roll to camp. When they look for us for 2-3 days, I don't see her. Later, we'll now come back to your mom. Said she was crying as they were dressing her up. Later, she broke down completely and they were dressing her up. And she begged me, said that, let's run away. Because that time the deaths were piling. Shortly after that, that was when they fired her. The guy was just dressing up. He will beat daylight when she left the house. When she now wanted to leave, you know, she didn't want to face her mom before. When the guy nearly killed her in the house, took all her money, the bank sacked her. She now said she will leave. Now said her mom now said, you can't leave the wedding. You endure. She told the mom that lie, That if I stood up to you on time, it wouldn't be like this. So I should stay there. Then it will kill me. What will you say then? Then she left. Now she's into entertainment and she's making money. She's back. She has two boys. Said, I'm not interested in marrying again. And she's doing fine. This is, if you are hearing me today, if you need help, ask for help. Are you with me? About 4 weeks ago that I shared on Wednesday, that I was talking about those who were raped and all those things. I prayed with a lot of people. It was still a wound in their hearts. I had some who told me it was their father, biological father, and it happened severally. And when we prayed, we felt it, they were healed. And they had carried this thing for a while. If you need help, you ask for help. That's what church is all about. A cry for mercy is not a crime. Where there's a problem is to try to do macho man and hide. Bible says, in Old Testament, according to under the dispensation of order, he that cover his sin will not prosper. There's something about, don't cover things, don't cover. God forbid, if I'm about to get into trouble, let's say with a woman, I have pastors now. I won't hesitate. Must I sink before talking? What I'm covering, if I sink eventually, then the whole world, won't they know about it? Won't all of you know about it? Is it not better to go talk to somebody who is my pastor than to wait to fall and then everybody in the church is talking about it? And this is what happens every now and then. Of course, he has said this publicly so I can say it. Benin said that the wife, before she left because there was nobody she could report Benin to. Or Robert had died. So Robert was one man that if the wife told him that Benin is doing crusade, right, doesn't come home at times, Robert would have said that Benin come here, cancel your crusade, that if I see you preach in the next 3 months, you are in trouble. Go and stay at home. If you don't like her, say that I'll be looking at her face. Robert would have told that dad that the next 3 months you stay inside your house, you are not going out. And that's it. One of the popular pastors in Nigeria said that, you know, he was from retreat to retreat and program and everything. His wife was crying one day that you don't have my time. And she called another GO, popular GO that you know. And GO called the guy. The guy was in toilet when the call came. He told the wife that I'm in toilet because the GO said, give him inside the toilet there. He said, that retreat you are going for, I cancel it. That what you should do is that take your wife out for 3 weeks, a love honeymoon. I know there are men, they carry the power of God. If you disobey, you go for that retreat. You will pray and fall sick there. You come back. It's just be a waste of time. He said, take your wife. Obeying that kind of instruction will give you great, will make you walk in greater anointing. It is when we fast, excuse me, is it that God becomes more powerful after our fasting? Or does your empty stomach get power? So when your stomach is dry, that means you are more powerful. No, we fast to discipline our spirit. We believe fasting, we just feel 30 days. We believe it to discipline our spirit. But he said, it will not replace what you should do the other way. Are you with me? So be a godly man at home, to love your wife and to show love at home and bring your children into it. At times, it will be more powerful than fasting and prayer. Is somebody with me? So pray with your wife at times and more powerful than you going home to go and lock yourself in for 3 days. I like locking myself from time, but I'm telling you, he listens to what I'm saying. Is somebody with me? Have you heard me today? Yes, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If there are issues, that's why you should be part of small groups in the church. That's why you should be part of units in the church. See, you find leaders that you can talk to. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, I hear many things, but I keep them to myself. Especially in the early times of this church. There are those who will come to church and they are still battling masturbation and every time I get to here and I wonder that why I didn't ask him for help. But usually I'll just pretend as if I don't know anything about them. Just like why? For almost even at this level we are, almost maybe half of those who have one issue or the other, sex and the rest, I somehow usually get to know. What many of them don't know is that we are spiritual, we are believers. Except I'm not praying for all of you. If I'm praying for you, The Lord will be showing me things, but I cannot do anything until you talk by yourself. That's the truth. How do you suppose that a pastor kneels down 3-4 hours every night and then pray for all of you, and that things will be going on in your life and he won't know? That's a blind shepherd. But it's up to you, because they don't force it on people. As a matter of fact, when a person wants to pray for you, if you talk and you ask for prayer, you are placed yourself under that person's authority. The angels walking in his life can walk in your life because you submitted yourself. But it comes from you, so it cannot be forced on you. All over Nigeria, all over the world, let us stop church where we are all closed up. In Acts of Apostles, it was one big family. And we need that again. That's why I've been warning. Do not get offended. I can never get offended by anybody living there. Don't get offended. Don't get offended. Anosha, in spite of what I've shared, one day Anosha will offend you. One day someone in church can borrow money from you and not pay back. Don't get offended. Don't let offense set in. Offense is dangerous. I'm not saying it's right to collect someone's money and not pay. I'm just saying that. Don't let anything, let offense enter you. It will pollute what you're about to do. Satan is an expert in setting up this when something great is about to happen. Don't get offended. Don't get offended. I can say it a million times. Don't get offended. So if I'm just about to reap the blessing coming from them serving the church, somebody will say something and they will leave. I will never forget my sister SS2. I just got born again, SS1. I just got born again and I came to the fellowship. I was from Celestial Church. I didn't know anything about praying in tongues. I just joined and then I got born again. But I knew I loved when I wanted to be part of the whole thing. And we're just, maybe that lady, because JS 1, 2, 3, I was a kind of naughty boy in the class. So for some reason, Misha and I used to play, but I was quite athletic growing up. I think I am still, to an extent, you know, that I can't do some things again. And that's why I could some assault, and if I try now, all of you have to lay hands on me. You know, when I was in secondary school, I was about the fastest in 100 meters, 100 meters. I still did that in NYC. NYC, I played for my platoon, and I scored the only goal, and then they trash shot out and everything. But listen, I can still play ball very well. I still play long tennis from time to time. Listen. Oh, Lord Jesus. I'm trying to remember the exact point I want to make. What led me to talking about athletics? Okay, I got born again. Thank you. So I sat down. And this lady came. Maybe she was still thinking that I was just the same naughty person. So I asked her a question that, oh, when is service? She answered in a nasty way. In fact, the answer she gave me, I seemed like I was trying to get close to her because I wanted to toast her. So she just gave me one answer like, don't. I know the next thing. So we're all mopping the floor. She did that and she walked away to another person. I continued mopping the floor. About 1 hour after, she came back to me and he said, Ashola, I want to ask you one question. Are you battling with lust? Before we go with the next question, what kind of lust? Is it lust of the eyes or lust of the flesh? I'm telling you. And I was looking at her like this. She was trying to make a point that coming to talk to me, I know that you are not asking a sincere question. You came to talk to me because you wanted to create a platform for us to start talking so that you could toast. That was what she thought. For a new convert, honestly speaking, the thought occurred to me that, is this what this relationship is all about? But I said to myself that they are not Jesus. When people say that they went to church and somebody did something, I say, is it what church is all about? Church is full of people who are not perfect like yourself. You yourself, you have offended people before. Your car can block somebody and cause the person to get angry in church. You are talking about an usher that offended. You too, you have offended usher. They've told you to sit down where you sat here. And the usher too can say that, what kind of people are coming to church? I'm not coming again. I told somebody to, you know, when people offend us, we do as if we do offend others. So you take it too far. When I was in US, somebody came to talk to me, everybody was talking about him. I said, everybody's not talking, I'm the president. I said, what should I say? I'm just saying it for the first time. And I'm sure if I say the fellowship, not up to 7 people know about what you are saying. And I'll say, maybe, but the way we're talking about this, I said, listen, my friend, can you tell me that you have never talked about that people in the fellowship? You know, it's not just, we just saw it. I said, you talk about some other people now. So don't let us take these things too far. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. If somebody drives nonsense on the road, I don't get too angry. Because I must have done the same to somebody unknowingly. There's no way you drive at, especially in Nigeria, that you don't offend some people at times, once in a while. I know the way Nigerians are, when you want to overtake them, they increase the speed. They need to put it on every road in Nigeria. Overtaking you on the road does not mean overtaking you in life. We need it on every road in Nigeria. Somebody talking to his wife, driving at a particular, he notices a car about to pass, then he increases. Why? You don't even know where the bus is going to. Rat race. Amen. When that lady said that thing, I just let it go. In 9 months, I became the president of the fellowship, and she was one of my escorts. So one day wanted to have a program, and I was about to send her to go and do something. When she came to collect the money for me to go and buy something, I just remember that scenario. I said, "Myself, blessed is the man who will not allow offense." Jesus said that about John. He said, "Blessed are those." He said, "Blessed if you are not offended in me." Offense, it will come. Maybe Satan saw that I was going to be president, and he caused all those things to happen. But thank God I did not fall for it. Stop getting offended. Are you with me? Hallelujah. If there are things inside you, nobody knows about it, but you notice that something is rising, call for help. Begin by praying, then call for help. This week, if you need to talk to me, I am more than available for everybody. You know that there's something going on in you that if this thing is left alone, it will affect your marriage. Are you waiting for the day to offend before you ask for help? It's happening, you know. You are a good person, you don't want it to happen, but you are battling the ball. You know that is there a guarantee that in the next 30 years this thing will come out and happen eventually? Are you waiting for it? Why don't you ask for help? That's the message today. Shall we rise?